1 John chapter 2, verses 18 through 29 this morning. We're returning now to our study of 1 John, which we are calling Essential Christianity, because 1 John is about the essence of what it means to be a real follower of Christ. What is essential for us to be and to believe to be a real Christian. We took a break from our study of 1 John for Christmas, but now we're back to it, starting where we left off in chapter 2, verse 18. This is a good place to begin a new year. It's the first Sunday of 2013. It's a new year, and it is the last hour. In our passage for today, John says, "This is the last hour." If you have the King James Version in front of you, it says, "It is the last time." We might say, "It is the end times." This is the last hour. It's always good to begin a new year by thinking about the end of the world and the return of Jesus Christ. Have you noticed that everyone is talking about the end of the world these days? There was the Mayan calendar last month. Big fizzle. A couple of years ago, it was Harold Camping and his billboards. I went to see a movie over the Christmas holiday, and 4 out of the 5 movie previews before the feature presentation were about the end of the world as we know it. Everybody seems to be thinking about it these days, Christians included. Well, John was thinking about it too. He is, after all, one of Jesus' disciples who heard him deliver the Olivet Discourse in Matthew chapter 24, Mark 13. He was there when Jesus ascended to the Father, saying, "It's not for us to know the dates and times of His return." This John is the same John, after all, who is the one whom God will use to write the book of Revelation. And this John said, "This is the last hour." Let's see what he says. I'll read the whole passage to you today, and then we'll pick out 3 questions to answer and apply to our lives today. How do we know this is the last hour? What do we have in the last hour? And what must we do in the last hour? Listen as I read John chapter 2, verses 18 through 29. "Dear children, this is the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come. This is how we know it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they did not really belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. But their going showed that none of them belonged to us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth. I do not write to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie comes from the truth. Who is the liar? It's the man who denies that Jesus is the Christ. Such a man is the Antichrist. He denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father also. See that what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. If it does, you also will remain in the Son and in the Father. And this is what He promised us, even eternal life. I am writing these things to you about those who are trying to lead you astray. As for you, the anointing you receive from Him remains in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you. But as His anointing teaches you about all things, and as that anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as it has taught you, remain in Him. And now, dear children, continue in Him, so that when He appears, we may be confident and unashamed before Him at His coming. If you know that He is righteous, you know that everyone who does what is right has been born of Him." Would you pray with me? This is the last hour, Lord. John said so. So help us, Lord, to use the hour that we have well. Help us to understand how we know it's the last hour, what we possess in this last hour that makes all the difference, and what we must do as we live in the last hour. We pray it in the name of our Lord and our Savior, our King and our Rescuer, Jesus Christ. Amen. This is the last hour. That's what John says. John believed, and rightly so, that he was living in the end times. And so are we. Often we talk about the end times as if they haven't come yet. But the Bible teaches that the end times, the last days, began when Jesus was resurrected. And they will continue until Jesus Christ returns. Now, of course, someday, and we don't know when, there will be the last of the last days, the end of the end times, which is what we're normally talking about when we talk about the end times. But the last hour has begun, and you and I are living in it. How do we know? How do we know? Well, John says so, and he tells us how to recognize the last hour. Look at verse 18. Dear children, this is the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come. This is how we know it's the last hour. So how do we know? We know because many Antichrists have come. Have you heard that word Antichrist before? Yes? Anti, as a prefix, means either instead of or against. So when we say anti, it either means instead of or against, or perhaps both. So Antichrist is someone who is against Christ. Someone who is a false Christ, who steps into Christ's rightful place pretending to be Christ instead of Christ. Or Antichrist is someone who is against Christ, opposed to Christ, Christ's enemy, in other words. And I think that both meanings are true of Antichrist here, though I think the against option is foremost in this passage. Dear children, this is the last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come. This is how we know it's the last hour. Our Lord had said that there would come a time after He had returned to His Father when false prophets would stream into the church and try to turn people against the real Christ. And the Apostle John says, just a few decades later, it's already happening. We are in the last hour. Now, John's readers, he says, have heard that there was going to be the Antichrist, with a capital A, Antichrist. And that's probably equated with the man of sin, talked about in 2 Thessalonians, and probably also the person called the beast in the book of Revelation. Strangely enough, this place, 1 John 2, is the only place in the Bible where the word Antichrist appears. The concept is in many places, but this is where we get that word. They heard that there would be the Antichrist, this Antichrist par excellence, this great Antichrist, this one who is instead of Christ and against Christ, but even now many Antichrists, we'll call them little Antichrist, little against Christs, have come. And that's how we know that this is the last hour. And those little against Christ are still among us today. Everywhere there is opposition to Jesus. John apparently is talking about a specific group of false teachers who had been hanging out with these true Christians but had recently left. Look at verse 19. They went out from us, Antichrist. But they did not really belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us, but their going showed that none of them belonged to us. Now that's a little bit of a tongue twister, isn't it? But the basic idea is pretty obvious. These antichrists had been hanging around, but when they took off, they showed their true colors. Real Christians stick with Christ and His real church. Knowing that these antichrists have shown up on the scene tells John, signals for John, that we're in the last hour. Now that's a little scary, isn't it? You didn't know you were going to come to church this morning. I was going to tell you, this is the end times. You're in it. Well, welcome to church. Welcome to reality. It's a little scary. We've all read in our Bibles about what's going to happen in the last days. And there's a lot there to to be nervous about. The emphasis here is that there are false teachers who want to lead us astray, just like Jesus promised. Are there false teachers today? Ones that try to infiltrate Christian groups? This is the last hour. But John doesn't want to scare us. Actually, no. He doesn't want to scare us. He didn't write this to scare us. He wrote it to encourage us in the last hour. So in verse 20, he begins to tell the true believers all of what they have in the last hour that makes the decisive difference. What do we have in the last hour? What do we have in the last hour? Four things. Number one, an anointing from the Holy One. Look at verse 20. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth. So don't be scared. Yes, it's the last hour, but you have an anointing from the Holy One. What does that mean? It sounds good. What does that sound good? What does it mean? Well, we know that physically an anointing is having oil poured on your head to mark you off as special, holy, blessed. But this isn't talking about literal oil. There's no mention of literal oil here. This is an anointing, it says, from the Holy One. It's a spiritual anointing. Here's my best stab at what this is. This anointing in 1 John 2:20 is a blessed gift from God for all true believers, of His Holy Spirit energizing the gospel in their hearts. The anointing of 1 John 2 is a blessed gift from God for all true believers. He says, you have it. And hear that this morning. Okay, you have an anointing from God. Okay, that's not something that only some people have. Okay, if you're a believer in Christ, you have an anointing from the Holy One. Okay, that's you. It's a blessed gift from God for all true believers of His Holy Spirit energizing the gospel in their hearts. I think it's a fulfillment of what John promised in John 14:26, where Jesus said, the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I've said to you. Does that sound like, but you have an anointing from the Holy One and all of you know the truth? Having that makes you a worthy recipient of this letter. Verse 21. I do not write to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie comes from the truth. You have this anointing from the Holy One, and out of that anointing comes the truth. What did Jesus promise? Jesus said, when He, the Holy Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own. He will speak only what He hears, and He will tell you what is yet to come. Now this word anointing in Greek, now I want you to catch this, is chrisma. Chrisma. Does that look familiar? C-H-R-I-S? It's kind of, what's that sound like? Anybody? Christ or Christian, right? That's right, it's the same root, anointed. Christ is the anointed one, the Messiah, the anointed one. And now Christ has given us chrisma. Okay? Christ has given us this anointing. So don't be afraid of the last hour. Don't be afraid of antichrists. You have a chrisma from the Holy One. And all of you know the truth, number two. Because you have this anointing, you have the truth. He says, I do not write to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie comes from the truth. Because we have the Holy Spirit, who has energized the gospel in our hearts, we have the truth. And no lie comes from the truth. Isn't that good news? Isn't that a great way to start 2013? By being reminded that we have nothing to fear because we have the truth. Now that doesn't mean we know everything and have everything figured out. That's omniscience. And that belongs to God alone. But we're Christians and we know the gospel. And we know the outline of how the gospel changes our lives. And we know the storyline of the Bible and how we fit into that storyline. And we know that God is what God has promised and that He always keeps His promises. We've got the truth. And no lie comes from the truth. Verse 22. Who is the liar? It is the man who denies that Jesus is the Christ. Such a man is the Antichrist. He denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Here's the truth. Jesus is the Christ. The man Jesus is the Anointed One, promised in the Old Testament and presented in the Gospels. Jesus is the Son of God, and He is God the Son. Anyone who denies that is Antichrist. Now, they may or may not be the Antichrist, but they are anti, against Christ, if they deny that Jesus is the Christ, if they deny the Son. This is very important. There are many groups out there today that deny that Jesus is the Christ and deny that Jesus is the Son of God or that Jesus is God the Son. And those groups and those individuals have the spirit of Antichrist. It's not me to say it. It's just the truth. Those are lies. And if anyone tries to feed them to you, they must be resisted. A few months after Pastor Mark Petras went to our Crossroads church plant in Altoona, he discovered that they had a man who was attending their church who wanted to be a teacher who did not believe that Jesus was God the Son. He said he believed the Bible, oh yes, every word, but he denied the Son. And Pastor Mark and the other elders of that fledgling church plant had to put him out of the fellowship because he was believing and teaching a heresy and was imbibing the spirit of Antichrist. The same Antichrist doctrine is present when someone just wants to believe in God but not believe in Jesus. Do you hear what I said? The same Antichrist doctrine is present when someone just wants to believe in God, but not believe in Jesus. We are not Godlians. Okay? We don't just believe there's a God. It's not enough to just believe in God the Father. Verse 23, no one who denies the Son has the Father. If you don't have Jesus, you don't have His Father. That's where Islam goes wrong. Here's the flip side. Whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Here's what we have. We have God the Father. Because we have the truth, we have God the Father. It says that. I love that phrase. Whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Obviously, it doesn't mean we have Him like $10 in our back pocket. Okay, but it means we belong to Him and He belongs to us. Don't be afraid. Christians, there's a lot of Christians afraid because the end times are coming. You're in the end times already and you've got everything. You've got the anointing. You've got the truth. You've got God the Father. Don't be afraid. We belong to Him. And He belongs to us, and that's everything. And of course, if you have Him, that means you also have His Son, and you have His Holy Spirit. In verse 24, John begins to turn the corner and talk about how we should live in the last hour. But he's got one more thing to say that we have, and it's this. We have eternal life. Verse 24, see that what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. If it does, you also will remain in the Son and in the Father. And this is what He promised us, even eternal life. We have eternal life. Can you imagine? There's nothing to worry about. There's nothing in the end times for us to worry about. What's the worst that the end times can do to us? Pain, torture, and death, right? I mean, that's about as bad as it gets. So what? We have eternal life. God has promised it. And God always keeps His promises. Now, does that mean we should seek suffering and death? No. But we have nothing ultimately to fear from it. Because we have eternal life. We have an anointing from the Holy One. We have the truth. We have God the Father, and with Him we've got God the Son and God the Spirit. And we have the eternal life that He has promised. What more could we need to get through the last hour? We have everything. So what must we do, lastly, in the last hour? What must we do? One command. remain in Christ. Remain in Christ. Look at verse 24 again. See that what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. That's a key word. If it does, you also will remain in the Son and in the Father. That word remain is the same word that Jesus used in the Gospel of John, chapter 15, when He gave the illustration of the vine and the branches. Remain, abide, stay, live, be connected. In verse 24, it's to the truth. Stay connected to the Gospel, what you had heard from the beginning. And if you do that, you remain or abide or stay in the Son and in the Father. Don't stray from it. Verse 26. I'm writing these things to you about those who are trying to lead you astray. Those false teachers. From verse 19. They didn't stay. They strayed. They didn't abide. They didn't remain. They were antichrists. Don't join them. Don't leave the truth. Remain. Verse 27. As for you, the anointing you receive from Him remains in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you. But as His anointing teaches you about all things, and as that anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as it has taught you, remain in Him. Remain, remain, remain. Abide, abide, abide. The anointing remains. That blessed gift of the Spirit energizing the gospel in our hearts, that's there. If it's real, it doesn't go away. So that we don't need anyone to teach us. Now, that doesn't mean we don't need teachers. I'm not breaking 1 John 2 by talking this morning. John is teaching here after all. The Bible says that teachers are God's good gift to the church. But you don't need me ultimately, do you? No, I'm not the mediator between you and the Lord. Jesus is. And through His Spirit, you have everything you need. Through His anointing, you have the gospel to apply to all of life. And that anointing is real, not counterfeit. It has steered you right so far, John says. And it will continue to do so. So remain in it. Remain in Christ. Does that make sense? Verse 28. And now, dear children, continue in Him. That word continue is the same root word remain in the Greek. Remain. Continue in Him. So that when He appears, we may be confident and unashamed before Him at His coming. Continue in Christ. Abide in the truth. The opposite of what the false teachers did. Stay steadfast. Persevere. Stick with Christ. Don't be led astray. Do you get the message? Remain in Christ. Why? So that when He appears, we may be confident and unashamed before Him at His coming. That's what I want to be. I want to be confident and unashamed when the Lord Jesus returns. Will Jesus return in 2013? I don't know. What I do know is, this is the last hour. And we're 2,000 years closer than when John said that in 1 John 2:18. The question is not, will He return? He will. And the question is not, when will He return? He doesn't want us to know. The question is, will we continue in Christ? Will we remain in Christ, abiding in Him, so that we are confident and unashamed when He comes? That's the question. And if we are that, then we'll do what is right. Verse 29, if you know that He is righteous, this returning Christ is righteous, you know that everyone who does what is right has been born of Him. If we remain in Him, then we'll do what is right, because He is righteous. If we bail on Christ, it very well may show that we were never Christ's in the first place. But if we do what is right and remain in Christ, then it will show that we have been born of Him. Have you been born of Him? John said in his gospel, to all who received Christ, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. Born again. Born of God. Born by the power of Christ. If you have not been born of Him, then we invite you to trust in Christ today. Believe the gospel. Allow the Holy Spirit to energize the good news of Jesus' death and resurrection on your behalf, in your heart. Receive the anointing from the Holy One. Believe the truth. Get the Father. Receive eternal life. And if you have all of that, don't worry about the end of the world. This is the last hour, but you have everything you need for it. Just keep going. Just keep connected. Just remain in Christ, connected to Him, so that when He appears, we may be confident and unashamed before Him at His coming.